Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
What was that?
I stepped all over the
end. What was that about?
I don't know what I was.
Came in like
30
seconds too early. So just start again. I'll move it back. Ready? Go.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it is the best of the week of palindromes 2-2-2-2.
It's more than just a palindrome. It's an identical something.
The row of ducks.
Yeah. On a Tuesday.
Yes, on a Tuesday. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So we got Tuesday, and we got 2-2-2-2-2-2-2. This will never happen again.
Not until 30-22.
No, yeah, exactly.
But then again, it might not fall on a Tuesday. You might have to wait a couple of thousand years.
Ugh, that's bad. Well, you know what?
And by then, they will change the calendar.
Naturally. Just as we have the craziness of this particular situation coming to bear, where we have everything just lined up so, it is so opposite of whatever else is happening in the world right now, which is not lined up and at all in order. We've gone crazy. I mean, we have policy mistakes that are going on, political missteps. Market's pretty pissed off about all this. We have a time that you were supposed to be coming out of this pandemic and the grand reopening, and then this has just gone to hell.
Well, you can thank Putin for that.
He's not happy.
But, you know, I found a Putin ploy. I get to call it that. Because I wrote a column saying he's not going to do anything. He's not going to attack Ukraine. And they were saying, well, he's going to take Kiev. And then he pulls a fast one and tricks everybody, including me. But he never attacks Ukraine.
He goes in there as a peacekeeper.
He goes, first of all, he designates these two breakaway areas in Ukraine declares them to be states, right? Independent states. And he goes in there. Hey, I didn't go into Ukraine. I went into the Donbass. I went into these, you know, independent states.
And everybody's buying it. Everybody's buying it, though.
Well, what can they do?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, he was there. Yo, those particular ones. Yeah. That's not included. You remember the red line? If you go over this, it's the red line. Oh, no.
Well,
if you go over this,
they are
going to
put some sanctions down, but it's not going to be anything like they were promising.
I think they're smart going slow, because if they did all of them at once, I think they would say, well, you know what? Not much more they can do. Let me go in.
This looks like the exact same thing that happened in Georgia. There was a breakaway state there, and Russia did the same thing. They put their troops in there and stabilized the area that was Russian and made it its own state and backed out and left. And that's what's going to happen again. I'm sure of it. Once the Russians back out and leave, I don't know if they can increase the sanctions any more than they have already. They're going to probably have to stop.
Well, I mean, and essentially what's going to happen is they just took a peace without any kind of conflict, military-wise. A few things here and there, but not a full-on war like they've had in other places to gain ground. Much more finesse. But he's done it before. The big issue now, I think, on this thing, and we can kind of talk about this all night, but is, you know, what is China thinking? And when it comes to Taiwan, are they reading through this to figure out if there's an opportunity for them if it goes well for Russia?
Well, I don't think, I mean, Russia has a few advantages in these areas. This area and Crimea, for that matter, and that part of Georgia, for further evidence, were largely Russian-speaking parts of the country. They spoke Russian, they Russian culture. They're Russians, but they just happened to be in Ukraine. And so liberating this is more like what Hitler did when he liberated the Sudetenland. But so the Russians said, this is our people. We're just, you know, the Chinese haven't got a leg to stand on in that regard. I don't know how their methodology has to be totally different.
Hmm.
But they may have observed the fact that the stock market collapsed. And
yeah.
And there's one colonel that when you sent me that clip of that colonel who said, well, what if Putin makes a, does all this stuff and then sells the Dow and goes long energy, which is exactly what you would have done if you wanted to make a killing.
Right.
And then backs out and, covers his positions and backs out and, lets things calm down.
You think that's, we've been talking about this for years.
Yes, we have.
That Putin is probably playing the markets. You do a little kind of the hokey pokey. You put your Russian fighters in, you take your Russian fighters out, and then you move them around. And each and every time you change the rules, markets get excited, markets get upset, and you're trading the futures the whole time on oil, on the Dow, maybe even on your own country after the ruble collapsed today and the markets there were down like 10% today.
Well, maybe. I mean, if you're running a country that size and you want to use it to, and you want to use your mechanisms to manipulate the market so you can profit, I don't see any better opportunity.
I don't know why he wouldn't do it.
That's even better than my thinking.
Right. Why wouldn't he do
why
it?
Why would you not do it?
Yeah. It would seem to me that there's no SEC oversight. The opportunity for him to do whatever he wants because he's the boss. I don't see any reason why not to screw around. What's the worst can happen? They'll find out that you did it. I'm sure he places all sorts of traders all around. We know already he's been hacking, shutting down various electrical grids and doing all sorts of phishing and doing some denial of service in the Ukraine. I just don't see why he would have any kind of reason to say, oh no, he's probably not doing that.
So. No, it's more baffling if he's not doing
it. Yeah. I mean, our senators do it and obviously our Fed officials do it.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I have been hearing in our warm-up little exercise this evening is that there's a lot of people that have been using margin accounts, have been using that to fund various things like buying cars and houses. As a matter of fact, in the last week, I heard two separate people talking about their shopping different brokers because they're looking for the opportunity to get a lower interest rate on their margin against their securities in their account because the rates have gone up.
Huh.
You start moving that market down significantly, and all of a sudden, something that we never really thought was going to be happening this quickly was going to be margin calls. People buying margin, saying, why not? You know what? I'll use my stocks that always go up. I'll leverage it up. I'll buy a house that always goes up. Right? You know the character.
Yeah.
And why not? And what's happening is they're finding themselves in a bit of a pickle.
And it can happen. This happened in 2000, in the year 2000 when they got the dot-com crash took place. There was all the, I knew a number of guys that were, they had new cars and new houses and they got thrown out of the, they got the car repossessed and thrown out of the house. And they were broke.
Hmm. Some in the chat room, when you go to, it's kind of funny. When you go to Bloomberg, the Bloomberg terminal, you could actually look up somebody. And he looked up Vladimir Putin, and it looks like his green light is online, his Bloomberg terminal right now. Or it was earlier today. It means he's got a Bloomberg terminal. He's probably looking at the markets and trading it.
Oh, you can tell on the Bloomberg terminal if somebody's looking at the Bloomberg terminal?
Yeah, if somebody's online. And then you can send him a message.
Send him a message. Say, hi, would you like to come on the DHM Plug show?
I'm not on the terminal now. Somebody else is on it.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true, but that's probably the case. I'm sure he has one.
I'm sure he does. What time is it there, though? It's
let's see. What like time?
Three in the morning, Russia. Four in the morning. Or maybe it's early.
Let's see. What time in Russia? Russia is now 5:09 a.m. In anywhere from
9 a.m.
Well, they have a lot of different
probably
times.
Probably just got up. First thing he did was go to the Bloomberg terminal. That's what you do.
Hold on a second. In Moscow. Let's do that because Russia's gigantic. 5:09 a.m. 5:09 a.m. We're going to be announcing the winner of the Closest to the Pin competition for ARKK, which was the ARK Innovation Fund. We're going to talk about that tonight. The Fed, fascinating what's going on with the Fed. As soon as they want, so you know, I've been talking about the fact they're late. This is a massive policy misstep. They allowed inflation to get out of control, therefore not giving them the flexibility to actually reduce rates if they need to, if we saw a significant problem, whatever it may be, in the markets, in the economy. And now what we have is significant inflation. We have now a global war or whatever's going on right now. Markets collapsing. And their inability to do anything about it. And one more thing. And during all this time, probably what is causing some of the big problems right now is the lack of liquidity in the markets due to the fact the Fed is sucking liquidity out. So this policy misstep has led to a problem. And now the Fed has painted themselves into a corner. And the problem is the room is round. And they just cannot find their way. You get that? They got a corner, round room? Are you listening to me at all? Are you there? Hello? Is this thing on? Chat room, can you hear me? John, where are you? John's on
right here.
What, did you hear any of that?
No. I went offline for about 10 seconds.
I see that. So I said the Fed has painted themselves into a corner. The problem is
right.
The room is round.
Part. Yeah.
That's all.
Keep painting.
Yeah. So Russia, let's see what that is. Sanctions, we saw that. Okay. Market, stocks down, oil holding, crypto down, risk off. It's kind of interesting also that wasn't crypto supposed to be the ultimate diversifier? Hedge, alternative asset, place to go in the event that the sky was falling?
That's what the initial sales pitch was.
Yeah, they got to redo that pitch book.
Yeah, I agree.
Not going so well. Earnings season, we saw mixed results. Overall, not too bad. Worries about margin maybe is the big issue right now as we saw inflation picking up. But other than that, all of this is really about the concern about the future of the Fed and what's now happening around the rest of the world. Some fascinating numbers I'm going to show you in a little while, and we're going to talk about with inflation in Europe. Wow. Wow. Quite unbelievable. So February is coming to an end. Now, you remember the pattern we've been talking about? That somewhere around the 17th to the 20th, approximately, give or take, around the time that we saw options expiration,
right,
there was that market swoon, and then it would pick up dramatically after that into the next month and through about the 10th or 12th or so, 15th, and then swoon again.
Yes, this is something you've observed.
So it's happening again, although it's now punctuated.
It's hard to see it, though,
with this
war thing.
Right, exactly. I would expect a turnaround Tuesday. Tomorrow, even though it's Wednesday, because we skipped a day this week as the markets were closed on Monday. I would expect if they're in the absence of anything hysterical, like a true invasion of Ukraine, which I still don't really understand how that impacts us back here in terms of earnings, but it's a risk-off situation. Nobody wants war. And it is a problem for Europe, of course.
That may be Lockheed, Raytheon. They would love it.
Yeah, they love it. They get contracts, and they're really happy when you blow up their stuff because then they have to make new stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
What a business.
Yeah, how great is that, right? Let's go out there and just shoot bullets. Markets are getting oversold. Readings coming into the potential bounce zone right on top of this. So interesting what's going to happen there. Let's see what we have here. Okay, so here's a couple of things that Mr. Biden came out and talked about today in the face of Russia making headway, surrounding, trespassing, going into Ukraine. So as they're carving out a portion of this, sending troops in those regions, Putin is setting up the rationale to take on more territory. The U.S. will sanction them. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline will not move forward. If Russia goes further, the U.S. is going to go further with sanctions. Several different oligarchs, banks were all shut down. No ability to issue sovereign debt to the West. He also said the U.S. had no intentions of fighting Russia, which I think markets were very happy to hear.
Yeah, they've been saying that. I don't think we do have any intention. There's no reason. The thing about this Nord Stream, I was thinking about it, though. This doesn't hurt us. It does hurt Russia a little bit, but they can always redirect their gas to China. But it hurts the Germans mostly. Oh,
terrible.
And they're going to be freezing their butts off in, you know, rest of this month and March. And I don't know if they may have to open that thing up.
Well, they're going to have to find an alternative. The amount of...
There's no alternative, really, because the idiots in Germany shut down all their nuclear power plants because of the greenies, you know, oh God, you can't have nuke, even though there's no carbon dioxide that comes from them. But they've been shutting them down like idiots. And the French said they would too, but they never did. And now they got, you know, the electricity sky high price wise, and they don't have this gas.
It's unbelievable, the price of energy in Europe. Natural gas prices are absurd in Europe. And we got around to doing the liquefied natural gas. We tried to get that going, which is a very expensive proposition. And that's not even helping. The price of natural gas in a variety of areas of Europe are, I don't even know the number, but 10 multiple of what ours is here.
Yeah, something like that is outrageous.
It's unbelievable. And
I'm surprised the public continues to put up with this.
But I think you're right. One of the things that we have idealists. It's not even nationalism. It's not even this whole populist. It's idealists that are trying to run the show and screwing things up so badly. I understand we want to save the earth and make sure to not kill the planet. No, I'm not arguing any of that. The shutdown of nuclear was just asinine. What are they afraid? Somebody, I don't get it.
For some reason, the Greens are convinced that because they haven't kept up, they're still thinking it's 1950, and they really think these plants are dangerous. That's all there is to it.
They all watch that Jack Lemmon movie. Is probably what the problem is. What's that called?
China Syndrome.
China Syndrome, yeah.
Yeah, that was a problematic movie.
Well, that was
by the way, when was that movie? 78?
Maybe. That movie did to nuclear energy what Jaws did to swimming at the beach.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good one, yeah. Write that one down.
That was a rough movie to watch. That was a rough movie. Let's see what else. Okay. What happened was that stocks started to pause their move down in the afternoon as Biden was speaking, then started bouncing, then flew higher. The NASDAQ was green from down like 180, almost 2% at one point, up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then collapsed. Then after hours, a big spike. And started drifting lower. So again, looking like there could be the potential for a bounce. Now, what's happening in Europe is pretty fascinating. I did not keep track of this number, but I've been watching it over time. But I didn't realize this particular series was so incredibly hot. The German Producer Price Index rose in January at the fastest rate since modern records began. Now, PPI, 7%, 8% year over year is pretty hot. That means the input prices to create a product are 7 or 8% more than was a year ago.
Right.
That will therefore either squeeze your margins or cause you to pass some of that or all that down to... Raise your prices, right. What's fascinating is the number in Germany is 25%.
This is not good.
25%.
Yeah, this is looking a lot like the hyperinflation era of the late 20s and 30s.
Yeah, this is not even the 80s. This makes the 80s look like deflation. 25% is absurd. That's on the next stop, Venezuela.
A lot of this has to do with the price of energy.
Correct. So if you strip out energy, it was up 12%, which is still
high.
Very high.
Not ridiculous.
Right. So the July 2021 PPI, the July month over month was 8.5%. The July 2021 PPI, the producer price index, was 8.5%. July 2021, now it's 25. So 8.5 back a year and a half, what was that, 8 months ago, was still really high.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do.
Look at this chart here. It's on the show notes for episode number 595 at dhunplugged.com. But you see, it was climbing dramatically, not just a little lift, not just a lift like we saw in 2008, 2009 from a depression era style.
You know, this looks like the money supply chart, too. No, it's kind of interesting.
Exactly. It's exactly what it looks like. You push it into 2008, it goes straight up. After you have a recession, you come into 2020, it drops off dramatically, and they push too much in and they lowered rates too much. That's exactly what's happening. Fastest pace since records began in 1949.
Yeah, this is not right. This is no good.
I don't even know how do you deal with that? And they're not even talking about, well, it's Europe. Back to Lagarde, who I can't stand her. I've never liked her. I didn't like her in the last position. I don't like her as the head of the European Central Bank. I find her to be a fraud, phony baloney. She's just going to appease and try to keep on stoking the fires. And she should have done something. They have negative interest rates still in Europe. And they're still saying that, you know, we do see inflation. And of course, this is just Germany, but there's other places too. We do see inflation, but you know, it doesn't look like it's a time to start really thinking about
so
reducing rates.
Look at this objectively. You've got negative interest rates, and what appears to be, based on this chart, the potential for runaway inflation with negative interest rates.
What
are people supposed to do with their money?
You can't put it anywhere. This is PPI, not CPI, but assume that it's going to equate to the same thing.
It'll be similar.
Right, it's going to push right in. So let's say that let's be kind and say that CPI there is going to be 12%, okay? You're right. Until you earn 12%, you're losing money.
Yeah, and you can't get 12% when you have a negative interest rate.
Right, so let's call it even zero.
So what are you going to do with your money?
No good. You got to invest it and hope for the best. Which isn't a good time.
And then if it crashes, you're screwed that way.
Yeah,
this is not a good situation.
You got to put your money in. It's not cryptocurrency anymore either.
No, and government bonds aren't going to give you anything back. It's just going to freeze the money at the old numbers.
Maybe gold and silver make a comeback. I had a guest on this
week. Actually, gold and silver have to do something. I think silver might be a good idea. Or gold.
Yep. Goldman Sachs. Good. What were you saying?
I was just saying gold, it's made a move from, you know, the last couple of years, but it hasn't made a big move where it doubles.
We had a couple of conversations last week. Last week I had one of the team leaders for investing for Goldman Sachs. I had a conference call with, and we were talking about one of the areas that they liked, and we talked about commodities, and they talked about the fact that their call for oil over 100, which is probably going to come true right now, but there's still a few things happening in the next week that may be a shakeup in the price of oil. But they do like inflation protection through gold and silver, and particularly silver. They were going on and on and on.
A lot of people are talking up silver.
Yep. So silver is interesting. That's one. I also had a conversation with Stephen Lieb on last week's Discipline Investor podcast, and we were talking about the different kinds of things that you want in the world of inflation, but more so he went to a different tact. He was going on and he likes gold, but he was really talking about it from the gold standard side of things, where we ruined our country in so many ways by going off the gold standard.
Well, that's water under the bridge, to say the least.
He went on to somehow tie together that our education system went to hell due to us going off the gold standard.
That's a stretch.
I didn't understand that. I tried to understand it. I couldn't really understand it. But we did also talk about it. I asked him the question, my favorite question when I have gold bugs or people that believe in, you know, doing something like going back to the gold standard. I said, what would you take down to the bunker with you? I'll give you three choices. You take a bar of gold, you take a can of tuna fish and oil, or you take cryptocurrency with you. So if you've ever heard me talk about it, I lay out a whole rationale why tuna and oil is the play.
I like the fact that you have tuna in oil, which is the superior product.
Yes, it has to be in oil. It has to be in oil. Because the oil,
I agree.
The oil is used for not only protection and also lubrication, et cetera. It's also used for a heating and a light element.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, you can burn the oil.
Correct. Then you then you take the top off and you have a knife. You have a thing to slice things with. You have a weapon, right? Then you have the empty tuna can, which you can use for water collection. And then you have the tuna to eat. A much better barterable, or you can barter it easy, than gold or clearly cryptocurrency when there's no electricity. One of the best things to have in the bunker. And it lasts forever. Yep. All right, let's see what we have here. Oh, I wanted to bring something out. When we talked so many times about the price of things and how shipping prices got out of control, I thought I'd bring that back. We'd take a look at this.
Oh, yes, that's right. This is a couple of years ago we got into the Baltic numbers.
Right, and then they spiked
out of
control.
And you, of course, poo-pooed the whole thing because it was like, you know, everyone has discounted this as important.
Right. And I still discount it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do, of course.
But
what would you change?
In 2020, when the...
Nobody can get containers.
Well, no, when nobody was shipping anything. I'm saying when everything's shut down.
Yeah.
And that was, we would go down $500. The shipping price was $500. It was whatever the index was. They just leave it at that. But I think it was was it per container? Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Anyway, it went up to $5,500 towards the middle to end of 2021. It's at $1,950 now. So there's some crazy numbers, and that's, is that a logarithmic? No, that's a standard.
Well, it's down where it should be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's much more back. That's something important. That's really good that you noticed that, John. This reversion to the mean. Have you looked at any charts of any stocks lately? That's all we're seeing, is back down to where it should be. And somebody got stuck with a major loss.
Well, with this, obviously, you don't get stuck because it's a process. You have to pay what you have to pay. But with a stock, you can get screwed, obviously, because it's an investment. This is not an investment chart. It's current pricing chart.
Right.
But it still shows the same characteristics of reversion to the mean.
Right, exactly.
Which is interesting in itself.
Yep. So remember, reversion to the mean works two ways. It works when things are overdone to the upside and to the downside. That's what I'm thinking. There are definitely some names out there that are really interesting to look at or start looking at. Have been falling off. Did you talk about this interview, which you mentioned at the top of the show with retired Army Colonel Jack?
Yeah, we played that clip. You provided me the clip.
Yes, I did. Did I get any credit?
Probably. Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. I didn't listen to that show yet, to be honest.
I think you did, yeah.
Was that Sunday?
Yeah, you can listen to the show and you're going to hear your name.
Ah, I did it without paying. That's unbelievable. So good.
Normally, you always spoken as a hysteric That's Adam's fault. He does that. He
yes, of course.
Paints you as a...
Yeah. Yeah, Horowitz had to get a shot. He's gotten 14 of them since.
He was panicked.
So this interview, we talked about that. He said that Putin was playing the markets enough to pay for...
He suggested the possibility. Right. He never said he was.
Correct. But I thought the end of what his commentary was the fascinating part where he said enough to offset whatever sanctions will be put upon him.
Yes, he said to the tune of $1 trillion.
Yeah, he did. Lather, rinse, repeat. Let's talk about Mr. Bullard. Let's talk about the Fed. You know, one of my favorite subjects to hate, the Fed. Bullard comes out 2 weeks ago, 50 basis point move in March, 100 bips by July. And then the CNBC is all in a flutter. Oh, my God. Did you hear what he said? Get him on Monday. So now we got to hear this guy on a Friday ruin the markets, and they have to get him on Monday again just to ruin the markets again. Comes on Monday. Yeah, we're going to make this happen. They start calling it the Big Bang Start, where they're going to do a, you know, not a surprise, but a substantial 50 basis point in March and move up very quickly. And then the walk back started last week.
You know, we talked about this on this show a number of times. Are these guys working independently or is it orchestrated to test the market?
I have heard from, who did I hear from? I heard from somebody. I was talking to somebody that I thought was pretty knowledgeable that said that they are independent, but it just doesn't feel
that way. So even though they
can't
call the shots, they can talk a big game about it.
I suppose. And some are voting members, some are non-voting members, but you always, it looks so coordinated. It looks coordinated.
Seems so, yeah.
Like, all right, I'll be the guy that says 25 basis points. I'll stick to that. You know, you be the bad guy for the next 2 months. Let's see what happens. Because you can't flip-flop around, of course. You got to stay with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like Kashkari, Neil Kashkari, he came in, the bald guy that was the assistant treasury under, not Paul.
Bush, I think, wasn't it? No, Bush? No. Or Obama?
Yeah, but he was the one under Obama. Who was the guy from Goldman that saved everybody, that bailed up Lehman? He stuttered a little bit. Tall guy. Ex-Goldman dude.
Yeah, that guy. A tall, yeah.
He was the assistant to him, the bald guy. Very tan, bald head. Anyway, he was always like, you know what? You got to keep rates low. Move them lower. Got to move them lower. And he did that for a while. And recently he changed his tune, but he's sticking to that. So the walk back started and we saw John Williams, the Federal Reserve Bank president of New York, say, I don't see any compelling argument to taking a big step at the beginning. Then in remarks at a conference in New York, Chicago Fed president Charlie Evans downplayed the thought the Fed needs to get more aggressive. He's still convinced inflation will ease on its own. Wow. Now, talk about a range here. One guy says we need to beat it down with a baseball bat. One guy's like, don't worry about it. And then Powell has been silent. So the setup, John, is we have now a war, supply chain issues, and much higher, tighter financial conditions right now. And the Fed is back on a circular path with rates. And the next meeting is going to be March 17th. That's the rate decision meeting.
Yeah, it's going to be raised.
Do you think
has to be.
I think it has to be also. There's a credibility issue. And if they say, wait a minute. There's inflation, but there's a war now. What does one thing have to do with the other? Not to mention we're not even in this war.
Yeah, we'll see.
But again, even if they raise interest rates, and a lot of the costs involved with inflation, we agree, are inflation or energy related, right?
Yeah, good part of them.
What is raising the rates 50 basis points or 100 basis points going to do for the fact that we have a problem in Europe, and on top of it, we have a situation where the OPEC group is not backing down on helping, and we've shut down a lot of stuff over here. I don't understand.
Well, from your perspective, mentioning all that, you're right. it's up or down. You can do whatever you want with the rate. It's not going to make any difference if gasoline's $5, $6 a gallon.
Nothing. Right. Exactly. Oh, they raised rates. Good news. Going down to $4. No. Now there is something about over the next week or so that we may be making a nicey nice deal with Iran. We may be re-entering talks. And if that's the case, allowing them to come online with oil, that could drop the price significantly. There'll be a lot more supply in the markets.
You know, I don't think that the Biden administration has the wherewithal to pull off a deal where you can get some Iranian gas and oil over here.
Wherewithal or intelligence? I'm sorry. Can you just define what you're saying here?
I think this is, in this case, I think I mean both.
Yeah.
I just don't think they can do it because they're so greeny.
Oh, if they do so, there's going to be two things. First of all, you have the people yelling of atrocities in the area. The fact that they do not let their women drive or their second-class citizens, and the pollution. We'll have mass hysteria.
Well, there'd definitely be some hysteria. Mass, I'm not sure.
Well, it'll be hysteria, like, I'm not voting for that guy again.
Well, they're not going to vote for him again anyway.
Well, that's true. That is true. So, just staying on the Fed for one more second here. The Federal Reserve finally has now published new rules that prohibited senior leaders from trading securities that might be affected by the central banker's actions. This is hysterical. So under the new rules, senior Fed officials, again, senior Fed officials are prohibited from investing in individual stocks or bonds, cryptocurrencies, commodities, foreign currencies, derivative contracts, and short sales on securities on margin. That they could do short selling is unbelievable to me. And everything else I could deal with but that. But then they're also required now to give 45-day notice before buying or selling securities that are in fact allowed, such as index funds. And the rules state that purchases and sales are prohibited during periods of heightened financial market stress, whatever that means, and include more rapid disclosure of officials' investments. Now, we have reputation damage control going on here, but all the people that did this and benefited so incredibly by margining up and buying various stocks or bonds got to just quit and go off into the never never land without even a hand slap.
Nope. Why would they get a hand slap? It was fine.
It's fine. So all these ill-gotten gains and winnings during two of the best Fed-induced equity bond super cycles ever.
Yeah. So long, suckers. I'm out of here.
A new broom sweeps clean. You got to get rid of it.
What the hell was I even doing here if it wasn't to trade stocks?
The whole point was I can get insider information and just have a layup. I am the house and I back the house. What's the worst going to happen? Doesn't work out in my favor. I'll lower rates again. Ugh. A new leak from Credit Suisse. Is Credit Suisse not, or Credit Suisse, whatever you want to call them. Are they not the ultimate bad actor?
I thought Deutsche Bank was pretty bad. There's that bank in England.
Barclays.
Oh, was it Barclays? I forgot. But Credit Suisse is pretty bad.
HSBC, that was another one.
HSBC is really bad. Really bad.
So there was a leak. Accounts from the 1940s to the 2010s. I don't know what you have. What kind of, I guess, microfilm or something of the 1940s, 50s? Nobody's scanning.
I guess, sure.
So the allegations in the media are that this information included that the bank had human right abusers and businessmen under sanctions amongst its clients.
Yeah.
Now, this is probably historical. I mean, if you look back to the 1960s and you see that there's all this, I don't know, I'm going to just throw something out here that is not even, it's not a fact. I'm just making this up, but that maybe there was money that was in a bank account for a company that used children to mine diamonds in Africa.
Or Idi Amin probably had a bank account.
Right.
you know, people open bank accounts. So what's you're supposed to do a background check on a bank account now?
Yeah, Himmler had a bank account in 42. Whatever
it is. I'm sure he did.
Right.
And I'm sure it was in Switzerland.
Yeah. So now you have a situation where they're going back and they're saying, look what they did. Again, the idea to rewrite history or to punish historical points without any kind of thought about a statute of limitation in a time that I'm not saying it's right, but in a time when it was a much different time. Cavemen used to beat their wives over the head with a baseball bat, right? Isn't that what we all learned?
Yeah, that's what we learned.
We learned.
It was a club.
Yeah, with a club. Well, you know, I know that there's no cavemen alive today, but could you imagine if you came, somehow you did a 23andMe and you traced yourself back to, you know, cave number 22 and
your club yielding caveman.
Yeah, you have a history of caveman clubbing in your family. Out, you can't qualify. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what it's coming down to. Canada is testing this idea.
Oh, Canada is just, that's a bad situation up there. Well, if you want to hear the truth, the Trump Truth social media app is live as of Monday, President's Day. And there was a SPAC with the symbol DWAC, which I thought was, you know, it's a good, interesting name. It's DWAC. That is the one that bought the social media company and rolled it up in a SPAC. And anytime you hear anything about this, it goes up. It was up 23% this morning before
Holy
the open.
Moly.
I think it finished.
DWAC, is it still going up? I'll put it on the game so you follow it.
Let's see. DWAC. Let's see where it finished up today. Finished up 10% at 92. I remember in back when.
To the moon.
Yes, it was to the moon. It went one day from $10 to $140 in about a day and a half. And the reason why I remember that is I was in Egypt and I told my buddy about it and he bought it on this tourist bus that I was on, and he made a buttload of money on the bus. I said, you need to sell some of that now. I told you about it one day. Now you need to sell it. He sold a little bit of it. But a couple of things here. That's some big thing. We have some more headlines. Bill Gates says, hey, COVID risks have dramatically reduced, but another pandemic is coming.
Yeah, really? What is it? What is this other pandemic specifically?
It's pandemic two. It's going to be called Bill Told You So Demic. Pandemic. Well, better yet, if you want to know what it is, why don't we look at what Bill Gates is investing money in the virology / biotechnology area, and what they are finding a cure for now, and that will lead us right to what the next pandemic is.
Should.
Right? Logical sequence. He says it's going to be another pandemic. It will be different pathogen next time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Queen Elizabeth, who is 95 years old, has tested positive for COVID and is experiencing.
So they say,
and experiencing mild symptoms, but expects to continue light duties in the week. Now, you want to hear my, I did not, you probably deduced this as well on No Agenda. No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays. John C. Dvorak, Adam Curry on the dial. You can listen to it live. You may have broken this down already. Here's my thinking on it. After a very bad week for reputation damage to the crowns and royals on several different items, I think they need a distraction.
From Prince...
Prince
Andrew.
Prince Andrew, and there was something else. There was one other item. There was some kind of a financial scandal.
Well, it could be. Well, that was not our thesis.
What was your thesis?
She's dead.
That's what Adam keeps saying. I heard that a few weeks ago. He gave a date too. He's like, he said, what was it? Like September 10th is the day. Whatever he said.
He did have a date back in the day. I think it was Valentine's Day or something. It was one of them. But he's totally convinced that she's dead. And this is just making it seem that she's alive.
For what purpose? So that
No, they, because they're having issues, they can't give the crown to Charles and Camilla.
Yeah.
So they want to stall as long as they can. Maybe that Camilla and Charles will die of old age.
You know, if you're in line to be king one day, how crappy is it that you have a relative that just doesn't, just won't go?
No, 1995.
And how old is he? He's in his 70s. He's going to be what, 72?
I don't know how old he is.
All right, I'm looking it up. How old Prince? I think he's 70 something. 73. I was there.
Yeah, he's too old.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to be irksome when he gets it. He's going to be so pooped.
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh God, I got to do this new job. It's like getting a job when you're 70, you know, in your 70s. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to work for the first time in my life.
Yeah. One last thing. Jean-Luc Brunel, who's a longtime French modeling agent who was detained in December of 2020 as part of an inquiry into allegations of rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment, was crazy, found dead in his cell on Saturday. Hanged himself.
Yeah, that's what they say. And curiously, the cameras weren't working that day.
And more importantly, what did he hang himself with?
They say with the sheets.
The old bed sheets. The old bed sheets.
Yeah.
Mm. I wanted to go through something. I don't know if you want to. It's it's a sequence, a timeline sequence, which is a little bit out of order here, about the what's going on with markets and the Ukraine situation. But we talked a lot about this. Do you want to go through this or pass it? It was just interesting, and we have more frameworks again. We'll go through this. We don't need to go through this. Bottom line is, every politician is trying their best to prop up markets with all sorts of BS. From a framework in principle, there was a meeting in principle. Biden scheduled a meeting without calling up Putin.
Yeah.
In principle. Anytime the word in principle or a framework is used, disregard. It's not real.
Well, that's an interesting, I should put down my list of words that seem to be cheats.
Yeah, but Biden said, you know what? I met with French President Macron, and we decided that we were going to have a meeting to discuss diplomatic options, and I agree with Putin, and I agree with this in principle. So the markets were like, oh, wait. There's a meeting happening.
In principle.
Yeah. What's his name? Lavrov says, from Russia says, I don't know about a meeting. No meeting. Not aware of a meeting.
You know, Lavrov's a wet blanket.
Yeah. He's a cooler. He's the cooler. Anything that happens good. It's like, no, sorry. Not true. But this went on. There were several different items that went on that moved things around dramatically. It's just crazy. I mean, huge moves. Supply chain issues. There was a massive fire on a ship carrying 4,000 vehicles.
Yeah, that's a crazy story.
And one of the problems is Porsches and Bentleys and Audis, and a lot of them
are... Yeah, all the big boys.
Yeah, a lot of them are electric.
Yeah, that's what started the fire. They think it was one of the battery packs that just blew up.
And what weren't... Aren't you... prohibited to bring, I'm thinking through this.
Yeah, in an airplane.
Aren't you prohibited from bringing like even the smallest of lithium ion batteries?
You can only bring a double A cell. That's the biggest thing that one can be.
And wasn't there a situation where these boogie boards /
Yeah, the stupid little things you ride on.
Yeah, the little things you rode
batteries
on.
That kept catching on fire.
Catching on fire. So,
yeah.
We really never addressed this issue, but okay. And the problem is that it's very difficult to put these out.
It's impossible because the water makes it worse.
So you got these batteries that run hot in a fire, difficult to put out on a ship in the middle of nowhere.
And, yeah. Yeah.
And cars are just burning.
Cause.
Burning and burning and burning.
Yeah.
Elon Musk.
Sounds like an insurance company's nightmare.
Well, not only that, all these people that were waiting for cars forever, especially some of these vehicles at the high end that are made while on an assembly line, a much different process and takes a lot longer to get done. and they can't get the cars.
I feel so sorry for these people that can't get their Lambos.
Or this is a giant scam to not deliver and sell at a higher price.
I thought that too. I considered that. You're thinking like me. Yeah, I think that it may be an insurance. It could also be the cars. There may be some cars on there, but they said there's 5,000 of them or 4,000.
Thousands of cars. Yeah.
I didn't know these car carriers could carry that many cars.
Yeah, these things are big. These things are ginormous.
Maybe it's half full and they just burn it to the ground and sink the boat.
Interesting. Yep. So wait a little bit longer for your Bentley, that Bentley convertible you wanted. Elon Musk is in the news again via his attorney.
By the way, how many Bentleys are they selling with lithium ion batteries? How many hybrid or electric Bentleys are being made?
Well, let's take a look at this because it's probably EV Bentley. I'm sure it's not.
Why would anyone? I mean, if you got the money to buy a Bentley, are you really worried about you want to get good gas mileage?
And Bentley's not available either. I don't think it's available yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Nah, so that's not there. So it's the Porsche. It's that Porsche Tachyon, I think it's called.
Yeah, probably the Porsche is caught on fire.
Tachyon, yeah. Let's see what that costs. Porsche luxury car. From 82,000.
Such a deal.
Yeah. That's on the small one. Okay. So Elon Musk is in the news again, speaking about.
When is he not?
Well, exactly. His attorney accused the SEC of leaking information about a federal investigation in order to retaliate against him for public criticism of the SEC. In a letter on Monday, the U.S. District Judge Allison Nathan, Musk attorney Alex Spiro, wrote to them and said, it has become clearer and clearer that the commission is out to retaliate against my clients for exercising their First Amendment rights, most recently by criticizing the commission on the public docket and by petitioning the court for relief.
Nice. He's probably right.
I mean, he's said enough to piss them off.
I'm sure he did piss them off. And having worked in the government in positions of enforcement, yeah, that's what you do. Oh, so this guy, let's make his life miserable.
Right.
And you can do it and get away with it. Nobody's going to stop you. And you can't, you know, who's going to reprimand you? There's no higher authority than the government.
Crazy.
It's not going to get Biden to tell somebody to stop. Right. You know.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But he wants to continue talking and being relevant, of course. Quick crypto, couple things. Charlie Munger was out last week saying that he likened crypto to venereal disease. Yeah. So it should be banned.
You can't ban venereal disease.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Warren Buffett sold a portion of his Visa and MasterCard holdings and invested in a crypto-friendly Brazilian fintech company. Now, this is interesting. I want you to know
Nubank, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you do? Work? You do business with them? Or
no, I mean, I would, but Nubank is not, I don't think it's a new company. I think it's one of the banks down there, the Brazilian. I was told years ago, because I used to go to Brazil all the time because I was a writer in one of the big publishing company. And I was told that the Brazilian banks are considered to be the most advanced in the world insofar as fintech is concerned. Because during that era of hyperinflation, I have, you know, which was quite the thing, where you'd lose like 10% of your value on almost a daily basis, not quite, but almost. And the banks had set up a system. So if you got your money, if you got paid, you got your money into the bank quick enough, you know, like without spending too much time walking to the bank. They'd cover you. They would have, because the interest rates and everything, the way it worked, they could keep keep you afloat without you losing your ass just sitting on the money. And the banks had developed all kinds of systems for this. And they had then from then, after they stopped having this hyperinflation problem, they had advanced into very high end banking.
Interesting.
So Nubank, I think, is just part of that system.
One of the things that's been coming up is this idea about selling real estate, your house, let's say, on the blockchain, or utilizing the blockchain to sell your house.
Yeah, yeah, I saw this too.
This is very interesting, actually. I don't know if I would like to develop something that you're not required to actually use a cryptocurrency. Because what I think is really interesting about doing this is if you wrap and package your house and all the title and all of the land items and all the policies and all of the, what's the word I'm looking for here? The
all the liens.
Everything in one package, right? You have it all there. Selling the house the next time, you don't got to go through that ridiculous closing process.
Right. It's like buying a stock.
Yeah, you just take it. I'll take the house. Yeah. Thank you. I think there's something.
And you're now listed on the blockchain as the owner.
Exactly. Well, we have a winner of the Close to the Pin. I'm going to talk about that. By the way, I want to mention that you can donate to the show. Donations are now open. They weren't open for a while. We opened them up. They are now open.
Donations are now open.
Yes, donations are now open.
We could definitely use the support.
We can. It's a good feeling all around. Go over to DH Unplugged and you can donate on a weekly basis, set up an automatic payment, or just give it one time. And there's a little yellow button that says donate on it, and you can just click that and do your thing. All right. Now, close the pin. Can we talk about this for a second? This was a very volatile name. We had about 50 or 60 people that were entered in this. Is the ARKK was all over the place. So getting this is either someone who's very lucky.
I think it's got to be just sheer luck.
Sheer luck has hacked the system somehow.
That's unlikely.
Or is really good.
And that's a possibility, but I'd like to see him win again.
Marcus G is the winner.
Yeah, he's only off 1%. The average price was off, 20%. The average price was way off.
Where was that? Let me look at that.
It was 72.82, right, and it came in at 65.81. That the average was 72.82, and a 65.80. The Marcus G's price was 65.81. The actual price is 64.80. Nowhere near 72.82.
So you know who Marcus G is?
No.
Yes, you do. He's a 2-time winner already.
Yeah, Marcus G, is he the guy in England?
He's the thatched house guy.
Yes,
thatched house fella. This guy just keeps on winning.
We have to get, we got to put him, make him part of the show.
He's in the wrong time zone and everything, and he lives in a thatch house. A thatch house.
Yeah. I wonder what town he's, what thatched, there's a bunch of villages all over England that are thatched houses. And they're kind of historical areas. And if you're going to live there, you have to keep your thatched house a thatched house. You can't like modernize it. And he probably lives in one of those places.
We saw pictures. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh, thatched houses are gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, and we asked him how often he has to change it and rethatch. And my tiki is like once every 5 years or so.
How long do you have? You have a thatcher in Florida that can do the tiki covering?
I don't know.
Because these guys, there's professional thatchers all over England.
Is that a thatch? Well, it's the tiki version of using, we use palm fronds.
Yeah. Well, that's not the same.
It's a pretty cool process. They're walking up there and it's pretty crazy. Well, we got to talk about our stocks. Hang on a second.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So we got a couple of things that came off real quickly. FedEx, we got to move a little bit. FedEx came off.
Yeah, it's got to go.
And FedEx was down
4%. You're Roblox. I mean, come on, give up on this.
I'm not giving up on it yet. United Parcel Service up nicely. FSC Bank Corp, market's down 400 points today. It's up today again. It just, it seems like it's up every day. It's calculating. It seems like it's up 1% all the time. And if it goes down, it's like 0.5%. So that's really good. Quickly, I'm going kind of a little bit on tilt. And I have two crazy, way out, wacky, what the hell. Everything's so screwed up. Anyway, I figured, let's put these on the list, okay?
Sure.
Peloton. You went long. Excuse me. Pardon me.
No, I went short.
You went short. You're up 21.82%.
2 weeks.
This is after it's down. It was down 50% to begin with.
Yeah, I know. I took it late.
It was unbelievable.
Momentum.
Unbelievable. And the second one I'm going to take is the VanEck Russia ETF.
Oh, that's an interesting play.
And my thesis was vodka. That's all I used. Down 8.5% today. Down. Oh, I don't even know. Down. Let's see this here.
Well, I want to put that SPAC on here.
Oh,
the Trump SPAC.
DWAC. Yeah, 27% DWAC. Last, let's see, 20. Yeah,
I go long on it.
Let's go here. Where is it? DWAC, which I think means like Democrat whacker. Like whack the Democrats. DWAC, Trump. We'll put Trump as the thesis. And JCD.
Yeah, Trump.
And
the Trump magic.
Digital World Acquisition Corp. Got it. Anything else?
No, there's a couple of things I've been looking at, but I'm looking for some good shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can't trust the market. I mean, the way it's all, you know, if I had a line into Putin and he was going to tell me what he's going to do, I'd be much more confident on picking stuff, but I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, I had some my own theories, which kind of didn't work
out. That's the problem. He's trying desperately. He's making it, well, I think he's making it so that no matter what happens, he looks like a winner. He's not going to walk away from this looking like he didn't really do a number on stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what he does.
So
and there's nothing we can do to stop him.
Right. You'd hope it would stop here and just get everything done and let's go back to fighting inflation instead of fighting for land. Let's get beyond this pandemic so we can get into the next one, according to
Gates.
Bill Gates.
Yeah, the next pandemic, that's a winner.
Let's go back to the pandemic and hyperinflation. Forget this war thing. It's too much. Too much.
Yeah, too many things. And too many balls in the air.
It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. All right, I'll see you again next week.
All right, talk to you then.
All right, thanks.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.